Welcome to In Perspective. I am Bob Branco. With me, of course, my good buddy and co-host, Alan Hensel. How are you, Al?
I'm doing great today, Bob. How are you?
I'm great. I had my annual physical exam yesterday, and I am pleased to report that aside from a few extra pounds and slightly high cholesterol, everything is perfectly normal.
That is a relief. And when we all get into the north of 50 category, Bob, we all take physicals, the reports of physicals, very, very seriously. So I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you know, Al, I had an EKG yesterday for the first time. What a humbling experience the way that they hook you up.
For your listeners, first of all, tell us all what an EKG is, what it does, and give us the gory details, if you wouldn't mind, real quick.
It's not gory. An EKG is an electrocardiogram.
Yeah.
They put little stickers on the bottom of your legs and on your arms. I'm trying to think if there are any other body parts that they put them on. And the whole point is so that this machine can read and evaluate your heart. It's a very sophisticated process. It's quiet. You don't hear anything. It takes about a minute plus, and then the nurse lets you know if your heart's normal.
And I assume that turned out okay.
Yes, it did.
Good. You have a good heart, Bob, and you have a big heart.
Oh, thank you. I had a feeling you were going to say something like that.
There you go.
Thank you very much. So do you.
You're welcome. You deserve it.
Al, my topic today, and yours as well, is one that I've discussed a lot on my Sunday evening Perkins School telephone chats. For those of you who don't know, I've been running Sunday Perkins phone chats now for nearly 5 years. What we do is we get together, former students of Perkins, and talk all night long about whatever comes to our minds in a conference room on the phone. It's a lot of fun. Old friends get together from the 60s and 70s and 80s, and we have a great time. One of the subjects that comes up a lot is blind students in public schools as opposed to blind students at private schools for the blind. Now, I have never had the experience of being mainstreamed with elementary school sighted students. It has never happened because before I went to Perkins in 1969, I was in what they call a sight-saving class in elementary school, which was a class where we all got individual attention as folks with visual impairments. To be frank with you, the only time I was ever mainstreamed was in kindergarten.
Now, Bob, let me ask you, because I'm not familiar with sight-saving classes either, per se. When you were in these classes, to the best of your recollection, were there other blind students in there with you, or were they also...
Yes.
There were other blinds. So it's
every person in the sight-saving class
was blind.
Had his or her own specific visual impairment.
Okay. So
and we were all in different grades too. There were only about 6 to 8 of us on the average.
So when you were in a class then, were you in a class with other blind people of different grades or the same grade?
Different grades.
Okay.
So I was never mainstream. Now you, on the other hand, Al, might be in a better position to make this comparison that we want to talk about today because you attended Perkins from 1967 to 1972. So you know what that experience is like.
Right.
You also, after leaving Perkins, was mainstreamed in elementary, junior high, and high school. Maybe not elementary school. I take that back. Middle school and high school in the sighted community. So you might have a better idea of what you felt was better. Before you comment, though, let me explain my experiences and my observations of the whole thing.
Okay.
Back in the early 70s, when Chapter 766 was first passed, my first reaction was, this is great. Blind kids can leave schools like Perkins and be mainstreamed in the sighted community where they really should be. They need to grow up in a sighted world, play with the sighted, socialize with the sighted, study with the sighted, be around the sighted all the time because we do live in a sighted world. We do not live in a blind world. You know, blind people have to go out and adapt to what the sighted do. That's what we're all about, okay? as long as we are able to cope with that. So that was my first reaction. But being a student who never had the experience of being mainstreamed in the sighted community, I will tell you that I was grateful for the education that I received at Perkins. Everything was at my fingertips, no pun intended. If you wanted Braille books, you knew where to get them. Every one of your courses had Braille material. You'd get Braille material in the library. If you need help with readers, the volunteer program offered readers to read with you at night to help with your studies. Everything was catered to the blind, which is obvious because that was a school for the blind. So it was up to that school to provide everything that it could for the blind. So that was great. On the other hand, I'm also thinking on the flip side that even though I had a very good reaction when Chapter 766 was first passed and I wanted the blind to be involved with the sighted community, I'm often wondering how much attention a blind student gets while he's mainstreamed. It's more difficult for the teachers. They don't have everything at their disposal for the blind students the way they do at a school for the blind. The blind student needs to go out there and get the special adaptation. He's got to make more of an effort. The teacher has to make more of an effort. He may get lost in the shuffle in the class, where sometimes things are probably at a rapid pace, and he has to keep up. So I'm wondering if it is really a good idea to mainstream a blind student in a sighted public school setting. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, Bob, go back a little bit further than 1967 when I first entered Perkins. In 1965, in dealing with a commission of the blind counselor, my mother was able to hook me up with a school, a special needs school in Worcester, Massachusetts, called Upsallis Street School, which has since closed down. Now, I don't have a lot of the mechanical process details about how that all worked, but from my scattered memories, when I initially entered that school, I was five, I believe I was five. Let me think here, poor math. From 58 when I was born to 65,
You were seven.
I was six going on seven. I was almost seven. The school throughout my 2 years there was mostly comprised of sighted kids, but there were a lot of kids, and I don't think all of them, but there were a lot of kids that had special needs, many of them physical as opposed to visual. So I remember being in that school, and unfortunately, back in the mid 60s, the teacher that I had, God rest her soul, God bless her soul. She was a beautiful woman, Mrs. Brady, Mrs. Grace Brady. I'll never forget her. She impressed me a lot with her humanity. But she just, as you mentioned before, Bob, was ill prepared on how to teach a blind individual. And I remember all the kids in my class of about 25, with the exception of two others, all being sighted. And I just felt like I never really was involved in the learning process the way they were. So they brought in an itinerant teacher from the Commission of the Blind. If anybody's not familiar with what itinerant teachers were, they were basically people hired by the commission to go to the class situation and make sure that that student was provided with every need that they could. And I use the operative phrase there, they could provide for them. And she basically tried to teach me Braille. I didn't want to read Braille. I wanted to read print because, and it's right, in hindsight, Bob, the worst mistake that I've ever made in not learning Braille. I learned it a little bit, but I was struggling not to. I wanted to read large print books, and they just didn't have any. So at the end of the second year, it was determined that I needed to go to Perkins. And so I went there for 5 years. And as you alluded, earlier too, Perkins was obviously set up for the blind, and I learned very, very quickly. I jumped from like the middle of first grade at age 8 to the end of sixth grade by the time I graduated lower school in Perkins and moved into public school. When I went into public school with what I thought was a really good education, it was a big shock, Bob, because now I'm out into away from 6 to 10 class student classrooms in Perkins to the 20 to 30 classroom students of a sighted environment. And my teachers, beginning in seventh grade, no, they did not know how to teach a blind student. In fact, all of them throughout high school said to me at various stages of my year curriculum there that I was the first blind person they ever taught. So I guess I was thrown into a situation where I became a bit of a trailblazer for the school system. And I'll tell you, I struggled academically, not, didn't struggle. I learned enough because I knew how to teach myself. I would go to each teacher at the beginning of the curriculum and I would just say, there's not a whole lot you have to do, except if you could verbalize what you're writing on the blackboard so that I can write it down, then that should be good. And that's what they did. They all tried to be accommodating. If they lagged a little bit, I just reminded them, could you repeat what you just wrote on the board? And they were very, very, they went out of their way, Bob, to accommodate as best they could. But they did not, unfortunately, they lacked the skills at an educational level to teach me what I needed to know. Now,
And
let me,
that's not their fault. And that's not their
no,
fault,
not at
Alan,
all.
because,
Not at all.
this is why it's not their fault, okay? They are teachers who never had to learn to be
Correct.
teachers of visually impaired students.
That is
They
correct.
did not work at a school for the blind.
That's
So even
correct.
though the law was passed allowing people like you and me to be mainstreamed, even though I never was and you were, the point is, these teachers in the sighted community did not have that extra obligation and that extra background at the time to be able to accommodate.
Correct. And so let me throw a plug Perkins's way, Bob. My seventh grade in public school was a review of my sixth grade in Perkins, and that was cool. I got very high grades, never had to crack a book. Now, here, let me give you an idea, especially felt in high school, apparent in high school, of how difficult back then it was. And I'm hoping that today, here's what I don't have is the basis to compare what's going on today with mainstream blind students. And that is, I can count on one hand, Bob, through high school. In fact, there was zero textbooks that I could get my hands on in large print. And so what I had to do in the middle of eighth grade is I got assigned a reel-to-reel tape recorder and a cassette tape recorder, and I literally received books from the Perkins Library that were read by volunteers, textbooks from cover to cover. That's
That help?
tough because what you had, it was very time consuming because what you had to do is if you wanted to go to the middle of a chapter and then back to the beginning of a chapter, you had to rewind the tape, fast forward, rewind until you found the spot that you needed. So, yeah.
Unlike today,
Oh,
when you have
with
all these
digital
digital
media,
means to do it.
everything's labeled, and a blind person through text-to-speech programs within the digital reader can find exactly what they need in a heartbeat. But back then, Bob, it was tough. So through high school, I had to rely on the tedium of cassette tapes or reel-to-reel tapes and teachers' notes to get by. Now that changed in college when they assigned to me the loan of a closed circuit television set, and that opened up a whole new world. It was so tremendous. I mean, I was reading everything in sight. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I was reading. Like I felt like a little kid, because I love to read, and I felt like a little kid out of a candy in a candy store. But yes, it. So here's my main point about chapter 766 and its effects of mainstreaming blind individuals into a sighted world. Back when you and I were growing up, Bob, it was an experiment and they were learning on the run. Hopefully, now maybe you can talk to younger people in the blind community that you know who might have gone through school in the 80s, 90s, and even early 2000s. Who might have been mainstreamed, and you could possibly ask them what, you know, what their experiences were like. Was it hard? Was it easy? This was an experiment, and it was tough. They learned a lot. I learned a lot, and hopefully today it's much, much better if they're still doing that process.
Okay, let me respond to that, and let me just add another aspect about Perkins. I pointed out at the introduction of the program that everything was accessible to me at Perkins. Mm-hmm. I failed to mention about the quality of the education that I received. I took courses in high school at Perkins exactly as if I was being taught in a sighted setting.
Right.
I had my share of algebra. I had my share of geometry, trigonometry, Spanish, science, biology, physics, computer, English, physiology, all that you would probably learn in high school. And I got good marks. And again, the reason was everything was accessible. Our study habits were made as accommodating as if we were sighted because of all of the material that was around us that we had complete access to as blind people. Mm-hmm. Now, you asked about students today or students back in the 90s or 80s. Who may have been mainstreamed because of Chapter 766. Well, I don't know too many of those students, Al, but keep in mind, too, there is something going on with schools for the blind today. They are no longer exclusively accommodating an academic blind student. Mm-hmm. Most of the academic blind students are being mainstreamed because the scope or the theme of schools for the blind across this country is toward the multi-handicapped student.
Right.
If you were to tour Perkins today, Alan, you would be totally shocked.
I would.
At the different atmosphere. It's all about the multi-handicapped student with multiple special needs. The physical structure of Perkins has changed. You have many, many more staff members there. A lot of it is one-on-one with the student. It is very, very different. There isn't much more of a secondary program at Perkins as there once was. So kids like you and I that are teenagers today are 95% likely to be in a public school. And I don't know how they're coping. I haven't really discussed it with any of those students. I don't really know anybody that's a student today and that's going to high school.
Yeah, and well, I had a little brush with actually two blind kids. One of them was in maybe third or fourth grade. About 10 years ago, my wife and I were attending a wedding, and we met a couple there who had an 11-year-old blind son who could see just a little bit, and he was going as a day student to Perkins, and she didn't get into the minutia of how things were going, but she did mention how grateful she was to Perkins. And he was only, I should back up a little. He had some sort of muscular problem, disability, and I don't know what it was, but he could still walk. He wasn't, you know, expected to live a short life or anything, I don't believe. But so he had a little bit of a muscular situation. Maybe a tad, he may have been ADD. By the way, I need to make a correction. Last week we were talking about learning disability. It came up, and I said HDD. I meant to say ADD, attention deficit disorder, in people, how they discipline with drugs and stuff. It might have been the week before we were talking about pharmaceuticals. But anyway, I just wanted to make that correction. So anyway, this kid whose mother Jackie and I were talking to, and the parents were about our age, maybe a little bit younger, and she was eternally grateful for the help that her son was getting through Perkins, but she didn't go into the kind of detail about the quality of education, academics that he was receiving. There was another situation when I was graduating Fitchburg State in 1983, Bob, where this high school girl, as a senior, had been accepted into Fitchburg, and she was doing some sort of an orientation with her commission-appointed itinerant teacher. And I don't think they call them that these days, and I don't know what they're now called, but I doubt it's itinerant teacher. Anyway, maybe
I really
counselor.
never heard the term itinerant teacher.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. But
Now, what would be your definition of an itinerant teacher? And I'll
well,
probably tell you the term that I hear.
well, it was it was it was a it was a commission for the blind counselor who was assigned a number of students going through the mainstream public school system who were there to make sure that those students had all of their needs met that they could
I never
provide.
had any encounters with such teachers.
Right,
I never had to be.
correct, exactly, because you weren't 766th. So, but to finish up on this, this girl's name was Kathy, and her itinerant teacher, it just feels wrong saying that, but I don't know of it by any other name, so we'll call her commission counselor, maybe. Her name was Ginger. And Ginger brought Kathy in, asked me if I could show her the ropes a little bit. So I said, okay, sure, yeah, I'd love to. I wished I had had that from, a blind student coming up, Bob. A subject maybe for a different day. I was petrified going into the public school system and then into college. There was a part of me that was scared. S-less, if you will, for lack of using the profanity. But anyway, so Kathy came in and we were talking, and part of the discussion centered around research papers. And she said, am I going to have to do research papers? And I looked at her kind of askance. She was partially sighted, by the way. And I said, Kathy, why the heck wouldn't you want to do a research paper? That's how you discipline, learn, and grow. I mean, if you're going to school to learn, you'll love getting into the nitty-gritty of doing a research paper and the tedium that sometimes will befall anybody doing it, sighted or blind. And she said, well, I don't want to do research papers. And I said, well, then maybe you don't want to go to college. And that was the end of that.
Heck, I was doing research papers in my junior year. It was required to do a junior essay and then the next year a senior essay at Perkins.
Okay, but here's the question of possible difference, Bob. When you did your research papers in Perkins, were you required to go off campus to a public library in order to?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh,
That's
yes,
good.
we went to the
That's
Watertown
good.
Library where
Good.
the material was not in Braille. This is where the
That's good.
readers
Yes.
from John Goss's socialization
Okay,
program came
good.
into play.
Good.
At night, we would meet with the readers and they would help me study the research material.
Well, apparently Kathy probably did not have that venue because I could tell she was afraid. And I said to her, I said, Kathy, listen to me carefully. I said, when you do your first research paper, I didn't say if, I said, when you do your first research paper, here's what you need to do. Go to the library desk and ask if you can get a sighted guide to help you pick out your books. And then if you need require more assistance, I said, do you have a CCTV? She said, I'm in the process of getting one. I said, good. Well, I've got one too. You get the material you need. They will help you. Don't be afraid to ask. They're there to help you, and they will welcome offering help with open arms. Bring your books back and then do your research at your dorm. Just tell everybody, I need quiet time. I need, So I was trying to give her a bit of what I had to go through, and so I don't know if I got her back, Bob, but I think she was turned off by what I said. If you're not going to do a research paper, there's no sense going to college. So
Well,
anyway.
I sense, and we only have about 2 more minutes, but
Right.
I sense that although we were all happy with 766, and by the way, let me explain where this is a national and worldwide show that people around the world have access to. 766 is a state law, a Massachusetts law that allowed blind students to be mainstreamed. I'm sure there are other similar state laws throughout the country at the time that did the same thing. Anyway, like I said, I was happy that kids were able to get out of the blind community and go to the sighted community. Now, years later, I'm having second thoughts about whether that was such a hot idea.
And I'll tell you this, Bob, as scared as I was coming out of Perkins into the sighted environment public schools in seventh grade, I can imagine it would have been a lot worse. I'm absolutely agreeing with what you said. One of the areas that at that time that Perkins was sort of fell short on doing was preparing us to go out into for what I would have to deal with going out into the sighted world.
Don't get me wrong. They did what they could. They weren't perfect at it, believe me, because I know a lot of folks who left Perkins who had difficulty in the sighted community while they were in college.
Yeah.
And like I'm not saying that it's not – I don't think it's a hot idea to be mainstream just because of the fact that they're being mainstream. It wasn't a hot idea because I had the feeling that blind students that were mainstream fell behind a little bit. In a perfect world, yes, blind students should be involved with the sighted population as teenagers. They should be allowed to remain in their communities. I should have been. I missed out on being in my community in my teens. I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But my evaluation is strictly objective because of the quality of the education that I was proud to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan, guess what? We are out of time.
Bob.
It was a fast half hour.
Boy, did that go fast, huh?
I know. My email address.
Before you do that, Bob, let me just ask, put that question out to all the listeners of this. If you have experiences, please, please, please share them with us.
And the email address is Branco182, that's Branco182, @Verizon.net. Please write to us. We may read your responses on the next program. Al, have a wonderful day. It's been a pleasure, as always.
You as well, Bob. Happy 4th. Take care.
Thank you, too.